God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. God's word to lead us on the path of life. As his children redeemed in the blood of Jesus, it's a portion of the epistle lesson. Now, the Apostle Paul writes these words to the church of Ephesus. And in this letter, he's instructing them how to live and how to walk. And here he brings in the illustration of leaders and those who guide. As he writes, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to nature, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may need no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint from which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow up, that builds itself up in love. I want you to think about this, that Jesus uses many different kinds of things to bring about the message. He uses the wine. If you remember at Cana, the wedding, he turned the water into wine. There's a miracle of healing. The person was brought down from the roof, and he said, take up your mat and follow me. And he healed. So Jesus is showing his stature. And here, the Apostle Paul is using other things for us to understand who Jesus is and to follow him. This morning, I want you to think about a garden. And I want you to think about everything that's in that garden. In my first parish in North Dakota, great, great soil. Black soil from the east. It was great. A good garden, and we had, Karen's probably going to correct me on this, but I think it was about a 50 by 50 plot. And it was brimming with all of this produce when we arrived in June of 1982. It was lovely. Of course, it took a lot of work, of which Karen really did most of the work of weeding. But you get into this garden and it had everything that you can imagine. It had lettuce, and it had carrots, it had potatoes, and it had zucchini, and all of those kinds, different kinds of things in the garden. And it was really, truly amazing. So when we moved to International Falls, there was no garden plot there, but we asked people around the church, and they gave us a garden. And Karen went to visit her grandma one time, and she said, finish the garden for me. And it had lettuce and zucchini. And I said, okay, what about the seeds? How many do I put in? She says, one seed. Zucchini. The plot was there, and I decided one seed wasn't enough. So I put a couple more seeds in there. You ever get a bunch of zucchini? Zucchini is good, really, it is. Yeah. But have a bunch of it. Mm-hmm. So I want you to think about that garden and
as you think about that garden,
I want you to think about the variety of produce that garden produces.
Then I want you to think about yourself.
Okay? Garden self. Garden produces many kinds of different vegetables, things to eat.
And on the other hand, God produces different kinds of people with different kinds of gifts, of different ways of explaining to others the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gives some people the ability to speak his word. He gives some people the ability to talk to others and comfort and encourage them.
He gives some people the ability to balance the books, to take care of the finances. He gives some others the ability to take care of God's house. And if you ask me to do anything electronic, you better have somebody ready to correct what I do. And you see, God uses us in the place where we're at with the gifts we have and the abilities to build up the kingdom of God. Some can teach young people. I have a hard time with that. I have a difficulty teaching God's word to youngsters. And I had a very difficult time having children's sermons. Because they said, Pastor, you know, we want you to do a children's sermon. Okay. I got a lot of children's sermon books from CPH. And each Sunday I would look at them. I'd try to memorize them and bring an object to church. It didn't work very well. I was sweating, I was clammy, my knees were knocking. To teach children God's way. Until I was in Mapleton, Iowa, and we had a circuit meeting. And one of the pastors there, who was from Denison, Iowa, he was explaining how he did children's sermons. He said, you know, I have a box. And I pass that box around each Sunday so that the following Sunday they bring an object for the children's sermon. It does a couple things. It has them search for an object, and it has them come to church with their parents. Interesting, isn't it? So I adopted that.
I had the pastor's box.
And I would have kids around me. And I would pass out the box to whoever raised their hand. One Sunday, one of the mothers came to me and she said, Pastor, you know, my daughter wants the box and you haven't given it to her. Would you please give it to her? I said, I'll give it to her Sunday.
And Sunday came, we had the children's sermon, the box. And I said, who wants the box?
A hand went up, and I mean, it was waving.
So I handed her the box. She ran up the aisle saying, I got the box.
You see, it taught me
many different things. It taught me what kids can bring in the box.
And it also taught me how to speak to kids.
Since that time, when I've served in Lake City,
is one of the members said, you know, Pastor, you're standing there quiet. I can see the wheels turning. And so there was one item
that came one Sunday. I had no idea what it was.
I was told later it was an appetizer fork.
I didn't know.
You see, God uses certain things that help me.
God enabled me to have those children's sermons with the box. And it was really helpful to me and to the kids.
You see, God has us as different as we are,
to give us the ability to do things
that promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, that share Jesus.
When I told the story about how I'm doing children's sermons to a classmate of mine who was mission exec of the Iowa District West, he says, "Scott, I don't know, I couldn't do it. You know, you're either stupid or whatever." But he grabbed and he says, "You know, I can't do that." I said, "I couldn't do it either until the Lord enabled me to do it." See, God uses us. And he puts a value on what we do. Now, you know, we like to put values on things. We bought our house in Lake City for about $120,000. And people say now that house is going to be worth $256,000. I'm going, "Oh my goodness." But then there's the value of cars. We like to put value on cars. We like to put value on other things. God doesn't put value on cars and houses. God puts value on people. And the value that he puts on you is that Christ died for you. And that Christ rose again to give you everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. That is an important value. You can't put value on that because it's immense value that Christ died for us. And so as we think about Mount Moriah, we have a vested interest in Mount Moriah. We've been together almost 6 years. And it's a great ride. But we need to continue to work together. To work together with the gifts that God has given us so that we will grow here in Mount Moriah. You see, God only wants us to sow the seed. To sow the seed in the hearts of others. The seed of forgiveness. The seed of life. The seed of Christ into your heart, into those that you touch. Because you touch people. You touch them where they are. And you can speak wonders to them. Whenever we get together with our kids at our home, we say grace. And that's to help our grandchildren understand that there is a God of grace, a God of mercy, and Jesus Christ in our lives. You have the power and the strength to share Jesus, to share him who gave you eternal life. So, as different as the carrots and potatoes and lettuce and asparagus and zucchini are, so are the gifts that God has given you. We have people that take that little disc and go on the computer. You know, when I'm trying to find music for services, I will write out the hymn on either my phone or my computer, and I will hit YouTube and listen to it. Sometimes I really get it, and sometimes I don't. Today, when we say, "Morning Gilds the Skies," that was my father's favorite hymn. And Karen always says, "Why did you pick that hymn?" Because it says something about Jesus. May Jesus Christ be praised. May he be praised in your life. As he uses you with the gifts of time, talents, and treasure to share Jesus with others. In Christ's holy name, amen.